today two important concepts. One is the quasi-particle type, in particular so-called the topological type. There are topological excitations. And we demonstrate that this topological type of quasi-particle have a very special properties, such as a fractional quantum number. But we only studied the fractional angular momentum, you know, for the rotation symmetry. But actually, when you have other symmetries, this topological type of quasi-particle may carry other fractional quantum numbers of your symmetry. Okay. And we also discuss the ground state degeneracy. So on the torus, this loop gas or stream liquid have a degenerate ground state. And there's an amazing relation that the number of a topological type equal to number of ground state degeneracy. So certainly it's this very mysterious relation. So today we are going to discuss this topological quasi-particle via strings, you know. And then when you're using string to look at them, and these two relations may not be so mysterious. And also we can also use a string to compute the statistics of the quasi-particle. Okay. So what are the strings? Again, let me just draw this. Remember that our spins live on the links. Okay. So those are spins. And we have a Hamiltonian, which is sum over this the star terms. So this I belong to length of I, and though, then we also have this plaquette term, where this I belong to h of p. Okay. So we mentioned that this topological quasi-particle cannot be created alone. And we also mentioned that it have a physical picture as the end of a string. So therefore, string basically is that on the background of up spin, string simply just a loop of down spins. You know, that's kind of like that. So this is kind of like a string. Okay. And if you flip spin here, then you create a string like this. Then you have a quasi-particle here and a quasi-particle here. So it's very natural to think the string creation operator a quasi-particle creation operator or string operator is a product of sigma I, where I on the string. So just a flip spin. So here, the string really means here string means we have this. This is our string. And then those are I side on the string. Then we just apply sigma x on those sides on the string. You just flip spin, then you create a string, and you create a pair of quasi-particles. So therefore, the open string operator create a pair of quasi particle. But the closed string operator don't create anything. You know, when you have a closed string, seems when you apply closed string to the states, you don't create quasi particle. Looks like don't cost energy. That's indeed the case. That's the if you have a closed string. Actually, the closed string actually commutes with the Hamiltonian. Okay, how do you see this? Well, this string operator is contain only sigma x. So it's commute with this term that's also only contain sigma x. So potentially we may have trouble here. It may not commute with this term. Okay. However, so let's examine if the string operator commute with the qi here or not. Remember, this term is a qi on the vertex I. So this qi is a product of a 3 sigma z here, here, here. So we have a 3 sigma z here, here, here. And the string is a bunch of sigma x along this line. Now you can see that this qi operator have a two-side overlap with the string operator. That's very important. For the qi, these two sides, you have a 2 sigma z. On the string, on these two sides, you have a 2 sigma x. And sigma z, sigma x, on that commute. But when you have a 2 sides, then they commute. And that's it. And this applies everywhere except at end of string. When you have end string, like here, then this qi only overlap with one side with the string operator. Then you have trouble. Then on string you have sigma x, qi have sigma z, only overlap one side. Then they anti-commute, they commute to change the sign. Okay. So as long as the string have no end, this term commute with it entirely. Okay. So this is a very important feature. That is so we have a string operator which commute with Hamiltonian if a string operator is closed. And this is very, very important. So basically you can discover, this picture really points to another way to look at the things. You can try to find all the closed string operator, basically just a product sum operator along some lines. There's some rules. You try to find those operators which commute with Hamiltonian. Once you find a string operator which commute with Hamiltonian, and potentially this string operator may create topological excitations. Because a string operator commute with Hamiltonian really means that when you apply a string operator to the ground states, the string itself don't cost any energy because they commute. You know, so when you apply string operator to the ground state actually is the eigenstate of this string operator. So when you apply string operator to the ground state only obtains changing sign or get a phase because they have common eigenstates. Ground state is a common eigenstate of Hamiltonian and string operator, closed string operator. So therefore, string operator when you apply to ground state doesn't change any sign, but does not cause any energy. But so that means the body of string operator costs no energy. If you have an open string, then potentially end string may cost energies. Okay. So therefore one can study all possible closed string operator which commute Hamiltonian using that to study topological excitation. I myself didn't go along this path, but I think this is a very, very promising path. And certainly there are some shuttle tests. Maybe let me say this anyway. And so because string operator have this form so-called algebra, I think. Actually, I don't really know what algebra is, but maybe algebra means you have multiplication and addition. So here I say that string operator also have a multiplication and addition. Okay. The multiplication really means that we can consider a string operator, say square, just multiply itself. And in this case, the string operator square just equal to 1 became trivial because square of sigma x just became trivial. So this operator has some interesting behavior. That's, if you put 2 together, it's 9 itself. So that suggests that the end string also have this property that this topological type, if you put 2 string end together, it's annihilate. So something like Marana fermion, actually. So but here may not be fermion, but something like that. They have only Z2 conservation. If you put 2 together, it's annihilate itself. So it's own antiparticle. And then string operator also have a property. But certainly, if this is not equal to 1, suppose this is non-trivial, suppose this is equal to some other string operator. Suppose in some other case, the square string operator is not equal to 1. Then their square is also a string operator because this operator also commutes with Hamiltonian. Okay. So but this operation by multiplying 2 string operators together is kind of like for end of string, you put the 2 end of string together, it's like a bound state. This operation is like making bound state of this topological type. If one string operator, suppose let me just suppose we have 2 string operators, omega W1, W2. This product is in W3. Then here we have a topological particle of type 1, topological particle of type 2. When you put these 2 together, you have a fusion. They became topological particle of type 3, which is created by this string operator. So this algebra, this multiplication of string operator, have very physical meaning. It's like a bound state of fusion of those topological particles. But however, the string operator also have another feature which I myself very confused. But looks obvious, that's it can add. You know, when you add to string operator, you get another operator which also commutes with Hamiltonian. Okay. And this part I'm kind of confused. And but this one don't have this feature. Don't have this very physical interpretation like a fusing 2 particle. You know, when you add 2 string operator, what happens? You know, how do you interpret it? Actually, this is the string operator can add is a very new phenomenon. And because I don't understand very much, so I will not really explain this. But there's something. This topological particle have some additional features. Yeah. Anyway, so I will not go into here. And but here I mainly try to talk about this their product. Okay. Yes.
So when you are saying that you multiply 2 string operators together,
yeah,
you're saying that these 2 string operators should be connected.
As long as they're nearby. So I will give more example of this. They will see. And because of that, what I'm going to talk about next will answer your question. Okay. So actually, yes.
Can I view this? So you are saying the difference between the algebra of a sum,
yeah,
addition and multiplication. Can I view addition just means that you create next excitation, because you only change the Hamiltonian by another unit, right? So if you use additions like the same type of a quasi particle, but it's the next excitation.
No, it could be different type, you know, because of omega 1 plus omega 2, these 2 can be different string operator. So this is some very interesting feature, and actually this is a very important feature.
But multiplication can be viewed as
fusion. Fusion, yes. And addition is a necessary structure, but I don't have a physical meaning, physical way to look at it. Yes.
I'm just a little bit confused about something. So to create a topological excitation, you need to use an open string operator?
That's right. You need open string. When you have a closed string, the ground state just don't change. Maybe at the most change their face. So it's, you don't change anything. But open string operator create a pair. You create a two of them.
Right.
You can never create a lone because related string operator can never create a lone. So that's why it's topological. And so you're mostly when we create extension, we just apply a single operator to a certain region. Then that is kind of local. But here we have a string. But usually when you apply string operator to a region, the whole string costs energy. You know, there's energy associated with the length of a string. And it's not point excitation, it's a line-like excitation. But however, in this case, because the string commutes Hamiltonian, the middle part of the string don't cost energy, only two end cost energy. So we have a very simple, kind of interesting situation. The string operator creates topological excitation, where middle part, although string operator is extensive, but the middle part costs no energy. They actually create point excitation. This is very strange. A string operator creates point excitation. But this point excitation is can be topological. But it don't have to be. You know, you can also design string operator which is not topological. You know, so the string operator, there's a lot of shuttle days string operators. So now here I want to actually this operator is not only string operator. So actually this is a let me call this a type 1. It's a bad name for string theorists because type 1, type 2 has been occupied in string theorists. But here, since you have a type 3, so maybe using type 1, type 2 is not so dangerous. So actually, there is a type 2 string operator. Which is a folly. I belong to string star product of sigma z. Okay. So here I want to say this string live on the links. Basically, this string connect vertices. So we call this is a string. Okay. And there's a dual string, because we have a dual lattice. So the center of a plaquette also form a lattice, which form a triangular lattice, actually. Center plaquette form a triangular lattice. And we can have a string which connecting center of plaquettes, like this. OK. And then we call this string we call string dual string. So that's a string star. So the string which connects the center of plaquette is a dual string. And then we can have this operator. Okay. So this operator is also a string. Actually, the whole picture have a duality. Because you know, we have two terms of Hamiltonian. One is called a star term, which is a kind of on a vertex. Then there's this kind of like a star. You know, this is three legs form a star. Then we have a plaquette term. You know, the second term is plaquette term. This on the hex term we have plaquette term. Okay. But however, this is referred to a lattice. If we can use a dual lattice picture, you know, dual lattice, this center plaquette became a vertex. Then the edge is like this curved line. The edge will be like this. You know, those will be like edges. Then the original plaquette term became a star term for the dual lattice. That's a product of sigma. If you think this is a vertex of dual lattice, then the product of sigma x on the leg of a dual lattice, there are six legs of dual lattice. And then you have triangle, the dual lattice is a triangular lattice. The original star term became a plaquette term. which is something around the triangle. So there's a total duality. So therefore, if type 1 string is a string on the link of a lattice, then type 2 string will be the link on the dual lattice. The type 2 string live on the link of a dual lattice. So this curl is a dual lattice. Okay. So there's this total symmetry. And then you can use the similar argument that this type 2 string also commute with the Bose term. The type 2 string also commute with Bose term. The non-trivial check is checked from here between these two. Again, these two, this one and this one share the common or even number of links. Okay. So actually, the string operator have a type 2 string also close type 2 string also commute with the Hamiltonian. And actually, further we have the following results. Closed type 1 string always commutes with closed type 2 string. And here I have already say on plane. How do you see this? Okay. So basically, from here you can see that because type 1 string, type 2 string live on a different lattice. So one on the link of a lattice, another live on a link of dual lattice. If you look at it, the type 1, type 2 string always cross each other. They never go along. On top, they cannot go along. They cannot atop each other. They're just crossing each other. They are not go on top of each other. They can never on top of each other. So it's safe to draw this picture. So we have a type 1 string, and then we have a type 2 string. They always cross each other. They're just not on top of each other. Then from here you can see, well, they have two crossing points. And type 1 string along on the crossing point, so basically if I draw this, I can, this type 1, this is type 2, they have two crossing points. On the crossing point for type 1, we have sigma x, and at the crossing point for type 2, we have a sigma y. They anti-commute, because the minus sign. But you have a two crossing point, then they commute, so I can show this. And you can draw them arbitrarily, so you can deform this shape. You'll find they always have even number of crossing points on the plane. So on the plane, they always have even number of crossing points, so they'll commute. And actually, this Q1 is a very small type 2 string operator, closed. Because Q1 itself is actually the product of a type 2, is a type 2 string operator on this triangle. This is the QI. QI is a type 2 string operator on a triangle. And this F operator is a product sigma x on small loops. Actually, it's a very small closed type 1 string. And these two commute is a special case that the type 1 closed string always commute with type 2 closed string. Okay, so this basically is a string operator, and then we have another type 3. The type 3 string operator basically is this. It's a product type 1 and the type 2. Is type 3. Okay. So unfortunately, I don't have much room, so maybe let me just. Anyway, let me write text here. The type 3 string is a product of on the string of so I belong to a string. So that's this basically is a type 1 string. Then there's another term we call this let me call C leg. This I belong to C legs, then this product of sigma z. So the second part is basically type 2 string. So it's a kind of type 1 string times type 2 string. So I need to explain what is a C leg. And so let me just draw this again. So to have a type 1 string, and we need to, so this is a type 1 string. So this is a type 1 string. And a type 2 string live on the, you know, connect the center plaquette, live on the link of dual lattice. So it should be something like go along this ending from here to here or something like that. And here we write down type 2 string in a very special way. First, we notice that the end string, so for type 1 string, the end string live on the vertices. Okay. Then we take some convention. For each vertices, we just moving up. So we add this reference dot. For every vertex, we just shift everything up. Then we have this the reference point nearby each vertex. Okay. Then when we do that, we can so-called adding a framing of a string. So this is a string. The framing string is connecting those dots. So that's a framing. Okay. So this is a type 1 string with the framing. So why do the framing? Because the framing gave us a convention how to combine type 1 string with type 2 string. Because look at this reference point dots actually live on the hexagon. So therefore actually this framing itself can be viewed as a string star. It's a like dual string. It's connecting hexagons, you know, this endpoint are the hexagons. And so this particular framing tells us there's a string like this, connecting these two hexagons. And I don't look at it this way, I say this framing cross this egg, these legs. So this is called the C leg, cross the legs. So the leg are crossed by framing. Certainly, this leg is not C leg. But so this this is a leg of a string. So there's something, you know, like a center plane. So this is a leg of this is a string. But this is a cross C leg. This is not C leg because it's crossed. And so basically, the C leg is a leg crossed by the framing. And for this particular case, this one will have one. Okay. So this is convention. Certainly you can combine type 1, type 2 in different way. But this is just a convention. Once you have a string, once you have a framing, then there's a way to combine type 1, type 2. And so this give you some canonical way or convention to define type 3 string operator. Okay. So it's very important to notice that the type 3 operator actually have a two, the end of type 2 string operator is not a point. Remember, the end of type 1 string live on the vertex, and the type 2 string actually live on the plaquette. So this is we have two different topologization. One live on the vertex, one live on the plaquette. But type 3 string operator actually, end of type 2 string operator is a bound state of a vertex and a plaquette. So it have a both. So this is an object for end of string, end of type 3 string operator. Okay. So in the more conventional way to denote is that for type one we denote that so type one. Gave us so-called E. Type 2 gave us so-called M. And type 3 gave us EM. Or sometimes people call this epsilon, or also called psi, whatever. No. Just a notation of the three type of topological excitation. Okay. So this is a picture. Okay. So now let's so this is actually this is why we have a three type of topological excitation. Okay, remember in the last yesterday's class we actually only discussed one types, but through string operator we reveal that actually for this Torre-Code model we have a three type of topological excitation. You know, two fundamental types. The last type is a bound state, the first rule type. But certainly we can choose any two as a fundamental type. Because bound state of these two also gave us this. So whatever way. Okay. Let me see. Okay. So yeah.
I'm a little bit confused that. So when you are saying that you shift the type 1 string a little bit upward, so why do you label all those stars that is not on the frame? There are also some stars which is not.
For every vertex, I just shift all the vertex upwards to add the reference point, some kind of reference point near each vertex. This convention, we just shift everything upwards. And then we join this reference point. The reason I do this is the following. Because I want to be able to join two open strings seamlessly. If I have this convention, then you can see the next open string we have. That's a very good question, I think I should explain it better. We could have this open string. For example, this is another open string. For this open string, the framing will be actually this one. It's a little bit strange. It's the framing of this open string actually always connecting the reference point. So we have reference point here, reference point. So the framing of this, because this open string started from here to here to here. The framing also would start from here to here, then to here. So now you can see that these two open strings, the framing and the end kind of can join. So if we multiply these open strings together, we have nothing left here. We got the longer open string from here to here. So that's why I define carefully this framing. The framing are connected by the reference point. So therefore, the type 3 string would have the property that when you multiply two type string, you know, if you multiply one type 3 string operator with another type string operator, you get the seamless type string operator, just one type string operator. There's nothing here. They can join seamlessly. So that's why I define this convention very carefully. Yes?
What does a double in the double semion refer to?
Huh?
What does a double in the double semion refer to?
Here, this is a Turing code. It's not double semion model.
Okay.
And the double semion model actually is referred to, again, double semion model also have three type of strings. And I think type one, type two, one have a statistics I, another have statistics minus I. They appear in pairs. So that's why we call double semion. Actually, they are not the same semion. It's a semion I and a minus I. It's time-reversal conjugate. Yes?
Maybe you're saying it wrong, but when you were saying topological types, I was thinking that, for example, you can have an open string normally, or you can have an open string that like wraps around.
Yeah.
But how is this? I don't see a relation with this.
So maybe that's the next. And so let me discuss using, so here I describe string operators. So now I'm ready to use a string operator to describe statistics. And after that, I will go back to this question. Then that's related to your question. Okay, so how the string are related to the statistics, and so here we have this so-called statistical algebra. Okay, suppose we have a two particle here. Okay. And they can hop. Yeah, before I describe this, let me just say in following. Usually we think statistics is something is given. You know, if you have an operator, if a given operator which commutes, you have boson. If a given operator which anti-commute, have fermion. It's something which is given. Like in passing integral, if you're given with a complex field or a scalar field, you get a boson. If you give a Grassmannian field, you get a fermion. It's not something you can discuss. It's just given. But here, we're facing a challenge. That we can use a string operator to create topological excitation. And those topological excitation may be fermions. But here, we only have sigma x, sigma z. They commute when they are far apart. So there's no fermionic operator here. We just have a string operator. And we cannot using appearance of anti-commuting operator to say, OK, we have fermion. We just don't have anti-commuting operator. And this Hamiltonian formulation, not Pasternak formulation, so we don't have a Grassmannian field. So suddenly we feel we kind of at a loss. How to determine statistics of under string? You know, the thing we learned from the class doesn't work here. You know, we don't know how to do that. And here I want to say that actually the property of the statistical quasi particle is encoded in the under string. It's encoded. Because encoding string operator, I'm sorry. Because once I have a string operator, everything is determined. You know, the property of end string is determined by the string operator itself. But how that can be? Because of the following. The open string operator can be viewed as a creation operator of two quasi particles. It can also be viewed as a hopping operator of one quasi particle. Because when you have one quasi particle here, if you add a little bit open string operator, this quantifies the hop to here. So the open string operator actually is a hopping operator for quasi particle. And what I'm going to explain over there is that if you know the hopping operator of quasi particle, the algebra of hopping operator determines statistics. So why? So we have a foresight A, B, C, D. Okay. So then we have a hopping here, we call the T A B from A to B. Okay. So imagine we have a two particle here, originally on this side, this side. this party hop to B side first, then hop to D side. And this hopping is operator is a C, B, D. Okay. So at the end, we have a particle here. Then we hop second particle to here. That's a T, C, D. Okay. Then at the end, we get this configuration. We have solid particle here, empty particle here. Okay. So that's one way of hopping. And this hopping is that we do this T, A, B first. Then we do the hopping T, B, D next. And third, we do T, C, B. So that's how we do the hopping. When we do this hopping, the solid on top, empty in the bottom. Well, there's other way to do hopping. We can do T, C, B first. So now this part, this empty one go to here. Then we do T, B, D second. So now the empty one, we can go to top. Then we do the T, A, B last. So now the solid one, it's lower. So this is T. Okay. So different way doing hopping actually results in an understate which can exchange. And then here is the thing. Okay, we examine the plus minus sign here. If hopping operator give us this plus sign, means the exchange of particle is the same. And this is the boson. If they get the minus sign, this is the Fermi. Okay. So this is the so-called the hopping algebra. And hopping algebra determines the quasi particle statistic. So basically the point of view here is that the particle statistics is a dynamical property. It's not something you given at the beginning. It's a Hamiltonian. If you write Hamiltonian this way, you have that statistic. If you write the Hamiltonian different way, you have different statistics. It's really hopping. You know, it's a particular way particle move around. You know, because what is boson fermion? The boson fermion can move around. And but however, when they exchange, they interfere differently. This different interference of a boson and the fermion is encoded in this different hopping algebra. So on this four side 3D, I just described the simplest possible interference pattern. You know, we are two different ways of hopping. You know, the end state involving the particle exchange. But because those are identical particles, they interfere. Well, the interference with the minus R plus one sign, then you get statistics. So any question here? Okay, and this is the key. And then with that, then basically we are done. So let's for type one string operator. So let's consider this a hopping algebra for this. And so we say this is A, B, C, D. Okay. Then for type one string operator. Then for the type one, this is T A B. You know, T B D and T C B. So let's just give some this string name. So we call because the spin live on the link. So we call this 1, 2, 3. So you can see TAB is simply a sigma 1x. TBC is a sigma 2x. Now TBD is a sigma 3x. Those are just very tiny open string operators. The open string operator only cover one link. You know. So open string operator which cover one link only just flip one spin. So the open string operator here is sigma x, sigma 1x. the open string operator here is sigma 2x. Open string operator here is sigma 3x. All type 1 open string operator. But those open string operators also be interpreted as a hopping operator. Okay, once you give that, it's easy to see that this algebra is a plus. Because these three sites, they don't involve each other. These are three operators act on different sites. They just go through each other. And so therefore, the end of type 1 string is a boson. So this one is a boson. Similarly, you can do the same thing for type 2. This is also a boson. And type 3's operator is Fermion, turns out. So since it's Fermion, so let's just do it. And so now we have to add the framing here. Okay. And we have to say this side is a 4. Okay. So now let's have to do some exercise. So let's do it here. For type 3, then we have these three operator TA, TAB, TBD, TCD. Okay. So what is TAB? TAB just this one. So it's a sigma 1x. So the framing, so not this, what's the framing? The framing is from here to here. They don't cross any leak. So there's no other thing, that's it. Okay. So TBD is a sigma 3x, because BD is here. From B to D is here, that's sigma 3x. If the framing is from here to here, it's crossing this side, this leg. So therefore, we have the sigma 4z. Okay. And then this, then from B to C, from C to B is we have a sigma 2x. We have sigma 2x. And you have sigma 2x, but the framing also link here. You know, this is the framing crossing the sigma 3, side 3. So we have a sigma 3z. And now you can see that this reference point and the framing is very important, because no matter how we multiply this and the string together, they all join nicely. They can all join nicely. Because the end is defined with a certain, with uniform convention. We have a uniform convention for each end, so they can join nicely. And then it's just an algebra. You can just check. Plug this into here. And you'll see there's a minus sign. Why there's a minus sign? Because everything commute except only two operators. Just these two. These two potentially do not commute. And they indeed anti-commute, actually. And the reason to see this is the following. If you look at this, the middle topping do not change. We just exchange the first and the third one. Just do this. And so during the exchange, you know, basically I think we exchange, Yeah, we have to bring this past this, So, but when we bring this past the middle one, then there's minus. Okay, so that's it. So that's how we're using the string operator to determine statistics. And this is also very important, because this effect also tells us The second string is a non-trivial. This is a non-trivial. Okay. Easy to see, the first string is non-trivial because it creates a string. It's hard to see why second string operator is something. But actually, the one way to look at the second string operator is the following. So suppose it's a second type of string operator. Suppose we apply this second type string operator on the ground state. We say, what happened to the ground state? Remember, the ground state is a lot of loops. You know, it's a liquid of loops. And in particular, all the loop configuration have a plus one amplitude. But when we apply the second type of string across the on the ground state, then we see that it may change the amplitude of ground state wave function. You know, how they change is dependent on how many crossing you have. Here we have four crossing. The amplitude do not change. However, if this loop is here, then we have three crossing. The ground state wave function amplitude would change some. So therefore, when you apply the second type 2 string operator to the ground state, then the ground state wave function may be plus sign or minus sign, depending on whether there's an even number loop going around each end, or there's an odd number of loop going around each end. So another way to say that is, once you have this kind of string, second type 2 string, then a loop of a type 1 string going around one end, every time you go around one end, you get a minus sign. If you go around even times, you get a plus sign. If you go around all times, the whole wave function gets a minus sign. So it's like a vortex. That's when you have a second type of quasi particle, you know, that's M type of quasi particle, then the string around M type of quasi particle would see a minus sign. And this led to the mutual statistics. That is a string, so this is M particle. A string going around M particle can be viewed as we create a pair of E particle. That's a short string. Then we move an E particle all the way around M particle, then annihilate. That's correspond to string around M particle. And that gave us a minus sign. Because these two intersect only at one point, sigma z, anti-commute, we get a minus sign. So that means when E particle go around M particle, we get a minus sign. So these both are bosons. Actually, these two have a non-trivial statistics. In a sense, they have non-trivial mutual statistics. One particle go around another give us a minus sign. So that's an indication that both E and M are non-trivial topological excitation. Because for trivial excitation, moving one particle around another trivial excitation always a plus sign. You know, trivial excitation don't have this Langevin entanglement. It's just like a boson. Okay. So therefore, from string picture, we see the statistical structure is that these two, because these two string anti-commute, this type 1, type 2 string anti-commute, when they have one intersection, then this E and M have a non-trivial mutual statistic. And similarly, I think M and EM also have a non-trivial mutual statistics. You can show this. Okay. So at the last, let me just go to this quantitative thing. And from the string point of view, it's pretty simple. Is that on the torus, suppose let's draw a torus. Okay. So we have a lot of a string. Basically, we just have a lot of string. And here I want to make a point is that actually from a string picture we have four sectors. Remember we have using the constraint, we have a counting, using some algebraic counting, we say there's a four-fold degeneracy for this Torah code model. But actually this four-fold degeneracy have a very direct way to see this using these string sectors. So what is string sector? The string sector is following. We examine how many times a string wraps all the way around Torus in one direction. We could be even times in this direction and even time in this direction. We can pick this sector. Basically, we say we do not consider all possible string configuration. We only consider those string configuration which wrap around Torus even times. Even time really means that if I draw a line here, counting how many strings crossing this fictitious line is even. And this even oddness do not depend on local excitation, because if you create a small loop, again, you change this by an even number. And this is important. No matter you do this small loop or you do this reconnection, for example, you can do this reconnection. If you do reconnection, then the crossing from 2 to 0, again changing by even times. So no matter these local moves we did, the local move do not change the evenness or oddness of how many times string wrap around it. So this became a super selection sector. That's the state where string wrap around torus even odd times cannot be modified by the Hamiltonian locally. Because Hamiltonian only generates these local moves. And the local move never change even its oddness. So those sectors don't mix. And we have four sectors really because we have a even-even, even-odd, odd-even, and odd-odd. So we have this four sector. We don't mix with each other. And also, they have same energy because locally, if you don't look at the boundary, only look locally. Locally, string still arbitrary. Because locally, you cannot tell whether it's the even time or odd time wrapping on all the way to the torus. So all these four sectors locally look exactly the same. So this is the magic. Locally looks exactly the same. So local Hamiltonian cannot tell them apart. So they have the same energy. But globally, the even odd time are indeed orthogonal. These two are even orthogonal. Even time, odd time are even orthogonal. So this is a very direct way to see this degeneracy using the string. And then the relation to the quasi-particle is folding. If you look in this direction only, then we have this even, let me draw this, even plus even odd, and even minus even odd, and odd even plus odd odd, and odd even minus odd odd. So this combination corresponds to four particle types. So let me explain this a little bit. So then we'll finish this. And so first even odd just means in this direction whether there's an even number string or odd number string going along this. It's obvious that even, you know, when we add a string operator along this, let's change my mind. I think that's all. The first even is this one, actually. So this first even actually cross this one. Okay. So this is even state. However, if we add even. So this even really means it's measured by this line. Okay. this even out measured by this line, but the even crossing out crossing this. So this even states. If you add a type 1 string along this direction, if you add it, you just apply the type 1 string operator here, that change even to odd. So you can see, if you apply the type 1 string operator all the way around towards in this direction, you flip even to odd. The type 1 string is like you add the E particle. So like you have E particle all the way around this string. So there's something E particle going on this direction, the type 1 string. That's flip, change even to odd. So therefore, this first element tells me, do we have an E particle or not? And what is an N particle? N particle actually is applied this one. Okay. And actually, N particle is this string. N particle tells us whether there is an even or, let me see. Okay, yeah. When you apply the M particle operator here, then what happens is that you know, M particle just a flip sign. Okay. When you apply this M particle type 2 string operator along this way, the type 2 string operator would flip this sign. Because this is, if this is the odd here, they flip this sign. So actually applying type 2 string operator just go from flip sign from plus sign to minus sign to plus sign, actually flip between these two. Okay. So therefore, let's give us some sense. If you apply type 2 string operator here, we go from this sector to this sector. If you apply type 1 string operator, we go from this sector to this sector. So this is type 1. And this is a type 2. Okay. So basically, what I try to demonstrate here is that, I'm adding pretty fast here, is that there's a four degenerate ground states. We can choose a proper basis such that when you apply type 1 operator or type 2 string operator along in this particular direction, you actually hop between these four different states. So that gives us very direct connection of a type 1 string operator, type 2 string operator, and the ground degeneracy. And so from here, that's how we see that the number of degenerate ground state and number of cross-partial type are tied together. Certainly, I don't have, here it's not really by no means a proof, but I just want to demonstrate that there's a very close connection. There's a very close connection. And actually, eventually, maybe using this connection, eventually probably can come up with a proof. And so this is, actually, this is how we see these results. And there's another point I want to make is that because to connect from one sector to another degenerate ground state, we need to apply the whole string operator. And that means, perturbatively means that we have to create a pair of a particle, like an E particle. Then move the particle all the way around towards to mixing different ground states. And this mixing would cause a splitting. So the energy barrier, you know, for creating E is a finite energy. But moving them all the way around towards is very long. So the tunneling process have exponential small amplitude. Will be like E to the minus L, linear L in system size. And this is a how we say that the ground energy splitting is E to the minus L divided some kind of length scale. This is splitting is this L. And this splitting is caused by the quasi particle tunneling process. So this is a, yeah, so this, again, we can understand the splitting using this picture. So basically, this is a, I think this is a, just a, some demonstration. So I'm using this example to demonstrate that all these are really phenomena of entanglement, really just phenomena of entanglement. And the main message here is that we can use some dancing pattern to describe entanglement. And then from dancing pattern, we can get the Hamiltonian and the statistics and even fractional speed. And that's it. Probably that's you should remember. But certainly those are just the pictures. And then what today I'm talking about is the mathematics behind the picture. Actually, from the picture, you already see what's going on. But actually, you have a rigorous math behind those pictures. So those are string operator and their algebra, and this hopping algebra, and et cetera, are mathematics behind these pictures. OK, yeah, I think I should stop here. Thank you.